Matt Flynn, the Rec. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is unbelievable. I didn't believe it when I saw it, but you may have heard about this. On January 6th, when Trump was looking at the at television and saw the insurrection unfold and was chuckling and clapping, he turned to people around him, because remember something, the mob was shouting, "Hang Mike Pence." Remember, "Hang Mike Pence." And there was a gallows there. That was a pretty involved gallows. That wasn't just a rope over a tree branch. Somebody built that. Some carpenters built that. They didn't build it in 10 seconds. That got built the day before or before that. Wheeled into place right there on the Capitol grounds. What is this, Marie Antoinette getting beheaded in the Place de Concorde in Paris, France, back in the 1790s? Are you kidding me? This is the United States. Anyway, when Trump saw this, saw the gallows, and heard the rabble shout, "Hang Mike Pence," you know what he did? He turned to some people and said, "Maybe Pence should be hanged." His own vice president. "Maybe Pence should be hanged." And Pence has been sucking up to this guy, sucking this guy for 2 years. Listen, the guy says Matt Flynn should be hanged. I'm not having anything to do with that guy. Not having anything to do with that guy. This guy's crazy. He's crazy. Well, is this something that somebody made up? No, they didn't. This came out of the testimony to the January 6th committee, and it came from Mark Meadows, the chief of staff, who was there. He was there. This is before Mark Meadows flipped. And Mark Meadows flipped because Trump threatened him. You may not remember, but initially, remember, Steve Bannon wouldn't testify. And so he got criminally prosecuted by Garland for a contempt of a congressional subpoena. And Mark Meadows surprised everybody and went in and turned over a lot of documents, very incriminating documents. And he testified for a while. Something then got to him. I think he got death threats, and I think Trump threatened him. It's possible that there was something financial involved. Somebody got to him. Somebody got to Bragg, the DA of Manhattan, who stopped the prosecution of Trump up there for financial fraud. Somebody got to the guy, called it off. Well, Mark Meadows went halfway there, and the stupidest thing you can do in front of a grand jury, in this case, the January 6th committee is a bigger deal than a grand jury, is to talk for a while and give him a lot of documents and then say he won't talk anymore. I mean, they know what's going on. And he said, Trump turned and said, "Maybe Pence should be hanged." He wasn't the only guy who said that. A guy named Cassidy Hutchinson. You know who he is? No, I didn't know who he was either. What he was Mark Meadows' aide. He was there. He said, "Trump said maybe Pence should be hanged." Then, and I don't know if you saw the January 6th events. I saw a lot of them, not all of them. When I realized what was going on, I then just sat there and watched. Pence got whisked away to safety by the Secret Service. And you saw him. And also Mitt Romney got whisked away because they knew that anybody who was in those hallways could be murdered by this mob. And Pence is hustled down a side hallway to a secure location. There are secure locations in the Capitol where if terrorists get in, at least the leadership, Pelosi, Kevin McCarthy, Republican Democrat, Vice President Pence, and then Mitch McConnell and Schumer, the two leaders, get whisked away. You know, let's say ISIS breaks in or something. So they whisked him away. And Trump looked at the screen, and he was angry about that. He was upset that Pence had been saved. Now, look, I'm not a Pence guy. I mean, look, I was elected chair of the Democratic Party on two occasions, and I think Pence is frankly bat feathers crazy on a lot of things. But I don't want to see anybody hanged. If the guy runs for election, I want to see him beaten in an election. I don't want to see him hanged. That's very cold. That's extremely cold. And let me tell you something else. Now Trump, and beware about this. This is like, let's say Putin or Kim Jong-un of North Korea say, "Boy, I'd like to date that girl." That girl better get out of this country quick, because the last things you want to do is end up in the clutches of Vladimir Putin or Kim Jong-un. because a lot of their girlfriends end up dead, is the point. Well, in this case, he has fingered another possibility for vice president if he runs again. And he's already said he's going to run again. He's already said he's going to run again. And yesterday, now remember something. It's publicized that Mark Meadows and Casey Hutchinson Meadows' aide both said, testified under oath to the January 6th committee, that Trump turned to people watching the TV on January 6th and said, maybe Pence should be hanged. And then he also said, when he realized Pence had been saved by the Secret Service, was upset with that. That's just plain strange, okay? The thing about the relationship, and I'll get to his new VP in a moment. The thing about a relationship between a president and vice president has to be absolute trust. Most presidents have a confidential lunch with their vice president once a week and no one else is there. And the president knows more than the vice president, and he fills them in on things, or her in on things, and they feel included. And more importantly, they have a partner who can help them make decisions, even though it's the president who makes the decision. When Obama asked Biden to be the VP, Biden said, okay, I'll do it, but we're going to have lunch once a week where I get to talk to you with no one around. And secondly, whenever we're in a group meeting, I have to be the last person that leaves the room. You have to listen to me, the last. Obama said yes, and that really helped Obama. There are instances where the president does not let the vice president know certain things. One of the most chilling, amazing stories is when Harry Truman became president, here's what happened. Franklin Roosevelt was the president. World War II is almost over. Truman was sitting having a glass of bourbon with congressman, with the speaker of the House in his office. Suddenly a Secret Service agent comes in and says, Mr. Vice President, you're wanted at the White House. And there's a whole bunch of Secret Service agents there. He goes, what the heck? So they go walking the secure corridor in the Capitol, and they get out to a limousine and they drive over to the White House. It's not that far, obviously. And he goes in there and there's a room and Eleanor Roosevelt sitting there. And as he leaves the room with the Congressman Sam Rayburn, the speaker, he says, Sam, there must be something up. Eleanor Roosevelt's sitting there and the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State are sitting there and they say, Mr. President, Franklin Roosevelt is dead. He had just died when he was getting treatment for his polio down in Georgia. And here you have Truman, who'd been an obscure senator from Missouri, going, oh my God, I'm the president, World War II still raging. Germany hasn't even surrendered yet. They're about to surrender, but Japan hasn't surrendered yet. And then the Secretary of Defense takes him aside and says, Mr. President, to Truman, there's something you don't know. We have been developing in secret a thing called an atomic bomb. And we have to make a decision, which means you have to make a decision whether to drop that on Japan in a couple of months. Now, how do you think Truman felt? Truman felt the moment of truth has arrived. History has overtaken me, and he made the correct decision. He dropped the bomb. Why do I say that? Because if we had invaded Japan, my father-in-law, my wife's father, had just left D-Day a year before. You know, he was on Utah Beach, and then he went into the Battle of the Bulge, and he got wounded, got a bullet through his helmet. And then when Germany surrendered, they all thought, well, good, I'll go home and I'll at least get 30 days of liberty. Even though Japan's going on, the Marines can take care of that. And the Army brass said, no way, Jose, you know where you're going? You're going to Texas right away. And then you're going to Japan and you're going to invade Japan. Well, the Japanese were fanatics. It would have killed hundreds of thousands of American troops. It would have killed a million Japanese citizens. So Truman made the decision. He was absolutely correct to bomb Hiroshima, then Nagasaki. And the Japanese surrendered. That was the only way it could have happened. But the point I'm getting at is the vice president frequently is kept in the dark. In modern times, he has lunch with the president once a week. And guys like Biden were the principal advisor to the president. But how cold is it for a president like Trump to go, maybe my vice president should be hanged, and I'm sorry they rescued him? How cold is that? And you know what he did? He comes out with a statement. I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before. And he says, if I run in 2024, and then he gave a huge grin, a sociopathic grin, emotionally disturbed grin. He goes, if I run in 2024, I'm thinking of appointing as my vice president Congresswoman Elise Stefanik of New York. Now, let me address that for a second. Does the president appoint the vice president? No. But if Trump got through the nominating convention, then he picks a vice president, just like Biden picked Kamala Harris because Jim Clyburn was pushing her. Put that aside for a moment. Once the nominated president says, I think Joe Blow, whoever it is, should be vice president, do you think that convention is going to turn against him? No, I don't think they are. So what Trump is saying is, if I manage to sneak through the convention, because DeSantis of Florida is great. I mean, he's crazy as a $3 bill himself and doesn't even have a personality, never smiles. But one of these other clowns, I can sneak through. I'm going to take Elise Stefanik. Why Elise Stefanik? Elise Stefanik was the one that replaced Liz Cheney as number three in the House. She's a congresswoman from Northern New York. Now, if you've ever been to New York, spent a lot of time in New York, you think of New York City and maybe Buffalo. Northern New York is very similar, is very rural, and it's very similar to Northern Wisconsin. And New York's one of the big dairy states. I'm not kidding. After California and Wisconsin in the whole country. So Elise Stefanik is representing a district that's gotten more conservative, and she's sucked along like a little Trumpy, a little MAGA Trumpy. But Elise Stefanik does not have the ability to be president of the United States if something happened to the president. I don't believe. She's a congresswoman. She's only been in for a little bit. You got to stop this business. You got to start looking at vice presidents who could be president. And what if Putin goes into Latvia and Lithuania, and who's going to be? I'm getting worked up. I'm going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.